Good morning, brethren. Let's go to our Lord. God, our Father, and our Lord Jesus Christ, thank you for bringing us to your house another day. What a privilege you give to your people to be able to come into your house and hear you speak. Lord, we're thankful that you have carried us all our days, revealed to us that you have accomplished our salvation full and free in Christ alone. And we believe your promise, Lord, that you will continue to carry us and you shall deliver us. And we ask you, Father, to please carry us. There's no way we'll be separated from our flesh and from this world except your presence go with us. And we ask you, Lord, please, please don't take your presence from us. Help us now, Lord, to hear your word and to understand it and believe you. And make us bold, our Savior, our salvation. Forgive us our sins, Lord. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen. All right, brethren, let's go back now to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Last time Paul declared that before Christ returns, there will be a great falling away. God will send men strong delusion because they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved. But this time we're going to see a great contrast that's entirely due to God's grace. He said in verse 13, but we're bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord. You see, we're bound to thank God always. He's the only one to thank because everything we have is of him. And we see here salvation is by our triune God, by the three persons of the Godhead, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Our subject is salvation, all of the Lord. And that's what we see here in this passage. Salvation is all of the Lord. We're bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, loved before by the Lord. He loved us simply because he would. Everything he's done for his people is because he loved us, because he would. Now, we see first of all, salvation by God the Father's electing grace. Verse 13, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation. And secondly, salvation is by God the Holy Spirit sanctifying us. Verse 13, through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, whereunto he called you by our gospel. And then thirdly, salvation is by God's Son, the Lord Jesus. Verse 14, he called us to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to see here Christ is preeminent in all three of these works of our Lord. Christ is God's elect. Christ is sanctification, into whom we are called, by whom we're sanctified. And Christ is righteousness. He is the glory of the Lord. The glory is Christ Jesus. So we're going to see Christ in each of these blessings. Now, first of all, we're bound to thank God that the Father, or bound to thank God the Father for his electing grace. Verse 13, God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation. Election is of God. God hath. That's what he says, God hath. And it has nothing to do with you and me, nothing about us that made him choose us. He did this from the beginning. In eternity, before anything was, before time, God chose whom he would. He's sovereign. That's his glory. To choose whom he will and pass by whom he will. That's when he showed Moses his glory. This was the first thing God said. He said, I will proclaim the name of the Lord. He said, I'll make all my goodness pass before you, and I'll proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. Romans 9:18, this was the conclusion the Spirit of God made and gave to Paul to give to us. This is what he said. Therefore, because God has mercy on whom he will, therefore, he hath mercy on whom he will have mercy, and whom he will he hardeneth. What's the purpose of God's election of grace? What's God's purpose in it? Paul declared that plainly in Romans 9. He said, the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand. Here's the purpose why God elects whom he will and passes by whom he will. Here's the purpose of election. Salvation's not of works. It's of God that calleth. Christ's purpose is so that his people will know. And he will make his people know. It's so his people know that salvation is all of God's grace. It's of God that calleth. So then, it's not of him that willeth. It's not of man's will. It's not of him that runneth. It's not man running about doing all his works that saves. But of God that showeth mercy. That's why Romans 9 is hated so much by carnal religion. Carnal religion, unregenerate religion, hates Romans chapter 9 because it declares plainly that God chose his people so that we know salvation is not of man, it's not of our will, it's not of our works, it's of God that shows mercy. I think I've told you this before, but one time Brother Henry was undergoing quite a bit of oppression and persecution, and men were rejecting the gospel and trying to blame him. And he just stood up in a men's meeting and read Romans chapter 9. And a man sat there and stood as long as he could take it, and he got more red in the face and more red in the face, and he blurted out, and he said, you're preaching the doctrine of election. Brother Henry said, I'm just reading what God says. I hadn't said a word. I'm just reading what the book says. Men have that natural response to God being the author of salvation and the finisher of salvation, all by his electing grace. Men hate that word. And we did too. We did too, till God gave us a new heart, made us see if he hadn't have chosen us, we wouldn't have chosen him. Salvation's all of God. But before he chose his people, God chose his son. He chose his son. Go back to Isaiah 42:1. I've said this to you many times. A man can't hate the doctrine of election without hating the preeminent elect of God. And Christ is the preeminent elect of God. Isaiah 42 and verse 1, God says, behold my servant whom I uphold, mine elect, in whom my soul delighteth. Christ is salvation. He's salvation. He said, he shall not cry. I put my spirit upon him. He shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. He shall not cry, nor lift up, nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. A bruised reed shall he not break, a smoking flax shall he not quench. He shall bring forth judgment unto truth. He shall not fail nor be discouraged till he have set judgment in the earth, and the isles shall wait for his law, that is, his gospel. Look down at verse 8. He said, I am the Lord, that's my name, and my glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. Verse 12, he says, let them give glory unto the Lord and declare his praise in the islands. Why? Verse 21, the Lord is well pleased for Christ's righteousness' sake. He will magnify the law and make it honorable. You see, Christ is God's preeminent elect. He chose his son, and his purpose not only was to make his people know salvation's of him that calleth, his purpose is to give Christ all the preeminence. That's what Colossians 1:17 says. Christ is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he's the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning. Our text says God hath from the beginning. Christ is the beginning. Everything began with Christ. The beginning. He's the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence, because it pleased God. It pleased God that all fullness should dwell in him. And what a blessing. What a blessing. I was thinking about this passage this week, and I just got to thinking about John Newton's hymn, Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound. Isn't it a sweet sound? Amazing Grace. We thank God, because if it wasn't for election, we would not be saved. All blessings were given his elect in Christ before time. We thank God the Father because he blessed us with all spiritual blessings. All spiritual blessings in heavenly places, in Christ, according as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world. Christ be my first elect, he said, then chose our souls in Christ our head before he gave the mountains birth or laid the foundations for the earth. Brother Larry Brown was called home by our Lord Friday. And this is what he heard Christ say. Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. That's what he did in Christ when he chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world. All right, secondly, we're bound to thank God the Holy Spirit always for sanctifying grace, for making us believe the truth. God hath chosen you to salvation, 2 Thessalonians 2:13 says, through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, whereunto he called you by our gospel. Sanctification is holiness. Holiness is sanctification. They're one and the same. To be separated, to be made holy. And it is entirely the work of God. Entirely the work of God. In the new birth, the Holy Spirit makes Christ sanctification unto us. He has made sanctification unto us, holiness unto us. There's some folks that they'll say, you can't say that there's a new man, a new nature, a new holy man created in a sinner, or they'll look to themselves. This is the paradox about this new creation. It's the only time you stop looking to yourself. It's only when you've been sanctified by Christ being formed in you and a new holy man created in you that you be separated from that vain notion that you can sanctify yourself. You'll be separated from that. You'll be sanctified from that and find Christ to be all your sanctification. You'll start looking to him alone to be your sanctification. Yes, a work's been done in you, but that work makes you look out of you. It makes you look to Christ only. God the Father sanctified us. He separated us into Christ when he chose his people before time. Ephesians 1:4 said, when he blessed us with all those blessings in Christ in heavenly places, he did it that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. God's saints have always been holy in Christ. Before time began, we were holy in Christ according as he chose us in him. Then Christ came and he sanctified us by his work. We've looked at this several times lately. Christ said, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He said, your law's in my heart. He's the only one that could do the will of God and keep the law of God and magnify the law of God and make it honorable. And he did it for his people. It's by his will, not our will. And the scripture says, by the which will, by his will, we are sanctified. Through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all time. That doesn't mean once for all men. That means once for all time. For by one offering, he's perfected forever them that are sanctified. Those that the Father sanctified in him in eternity, Christ perfected them forever by his one offering. And then the Holy Spirit regenerates us and creates a new holy man within us, making Christ sanctification unto us. When he does this, he makes Christ to be our sanctification. That's the first time we see that both he that sanctified and they who are sanctified are all of one, for which cause he's not ashamed to call us brethren. He made us one with him. He predestinated us to the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he's made us accepted in Christ the Beloved. Because you're sons. You see, you don't become a son when you believe. He said, because you are sons, God sent forth the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. We're so passive in this thing of calling on God that he doesn't even say there he sent the Spirit of his Son into your heart. He makes you cry, Abba, Father. He said he sent the Spirit of the Son, his Son into your heart, crying, Abba, Father. Paul said in Romans 8, we don't know how to pray as we ought. He said, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groaning can't be uttered. Sometimes you just can't even speak words. You just groan. But Christ is interceding. The Spirit of his Son crying, Abba, Father, when you can't even cry, Abba, Father. But by Christ being in you in spirit, there's a new Holy Spirit. There's a new holy man. A new holy nature created within you in his image, in his righteousness, in his holiness. Romans 8:10 says, if Christ be in you, the body's dead because of sin. But the Spirit is life because of righteousness. The Holy Spirit within you, the Spirit of Christ within you, is life in you because Christ made his people righteousness. That's why. You know, if you have life, if you have spiritual life, you know why you have it? Because the Spirit of Christ is in you, and the Spirit of Christ is in you because he made you righteousness. Righteousness is life. Sin is death. The body's dead because of sin. The Spirit's life because of righteousness. That new man in you is righteous by Christ. Colossians 3:10 says, you have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Christ created the new man, and he created the new man within us in his image. And he renewed us in knowledge after the image of him, and he keeps renewing you in knowledge after the image of him. Ephesians 4:24 says, you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. After God. God's righteous and holy, isn't he? Christ is righteous and holy. That new man's created in that image after the righteousness and true holiness of Christ. True holiness, as opposed to when we were looking at our works and looking at our deeds and claiming we had made ourselves holy, God says now, Christ in you has made you truly holy. I said this the other day. I don't know if I said it here or somewhere else, but when you were born of that corruptible seed and a man was created in your mother's womb, you were conceived in your mother's womb, you didn't have to do anything to be a sinner. You were corrupt by that conception. When this new man's created within, you don't have to do anything to be holy. It's holy by the incorruptible seed. There's a new holy man born in you. This makes us live as holy, sanctified saints. Now, what does that mean? First of all, we thank God always. He did it. We didn't do it. We didn't have a part in it. We've been separated by God, sanctified by God from patting ourselves on the back and boasting we made ourselves holy. We give him all the glory in all things. In all things, we walk as holy children, not to make ourselves holy, but because we are holy. It's your nature now to love holiness. Just like before, the only nature we had was to live ungodly, sinful lives because that was the only nature we had. Now we have a new holy man within us, and the nature of this new man is to love holiness. We struggle because we still got the old man who loves sin. But we got this new man that loves holiness. And by Christ dwelling in you, the new man's going to triumph. Paul speaks of this two ways. In Romans 7, he said, because of this sinful nature, we can't do what we would in our new man. In our new man, we would walk before God and be perfect. We can't do it because of our sinful flesh. But in Galatians, he said, but because of the Spirit of our Lord dwelling in us, we can't sin to the degree our old man wants to sin. Both of those are true. Both of those are true. That's not what the world's preaching, brethren. The world's preaching you can triumph over sin and you can conquer sin and you get more and more and more holy. That's not what the Word says. The Word says you're going to have this struggle in you all your days. And the only reason that you're going to overcome is the Spirit of Christ has sanctified you, created a new holy man in you, and he's going to keep your old man from doing what you could if he let you loose. When will worshipers preach sanctification by man's works? You know what this sanctification of the Spirit makes you do? Not give an ear to it. It makes you be separated from it and say, I can't follow that. I can't follow that. I used to say the Apostle Paul was a master using a play on words. But it's not Paul. It's God. Because God made Isaiah use the same play on words. We're going to see in Isaiah 47, God calls the great harlot Babylon, will worshipers, all false religion. He calls them, O virgin daughter Babylon. Not because they were the virgin daughter, but because they boasted, will works, self-sanctifying men boast, they've made themselves a pure virgin by their works of sanctification. Well, God gave Paul the same play on words in 2 Corinthians 6. There were some at Corinth who were boasting they had sanctified themselves by the works of the law. That's why Paul spent all that time saying, we're not sufficient of ourselves to think anything of ourselves. He spent 2 Corinthians chapter 3 saying, God has called us from the glory of that old covenant, ministered death and condemnation to us, and translated us under the covenant, the new covenant of everlasting glory, whose glory is Christ alone. And he said, and there were some there, he said, that are glorying in appearance, not in heart. And then Paul said this. God's saying this through Paul. He said, are you really sanctified? You're boasting you're sanctified. He said, wherefore, come out from among them. Be ye separate, saith the Lord. Touch not the unclean. I'll receive you. I'll be a father to you. You'll be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. And men read that, and it's clearly a play on words. He's saying, if you're really sanctified, this is what you'll do. You will stop boasting you sanctified yourself. You'll come out from that, and you'll trust Christ to be your sanctification. And men read that word, and without the Spirit of God, go on saying, see there, we sanctify ourselves. That's not what Paul was saying at all. God was saying to him, if holiness has been perfected in you, you're out, you're not in. You're out from that, and you're in Christ now. You're not in that anymore. Notice this sanctification of the Spirit's not through the law, it's through the gospel of Christ crucified. 2 Corinthians 2:13, sanctification of the Spirit, belief of the truth, whereunto he called you, by our gospel. It wasn't by the works of the law that you were sanctified. It was by the preaching of Christ being all unto us. It's so vain for false religion to imagine they can create sanctified sinners when they're preaching works and they're not preaching the gospel of Christ. Christ is the gospel. Christ is the truth. He prayed to the Father. In John 17, let's go there and look just a minute. John 17, and hold your place in John 17 because we're going to come back here. But I want you to see what he prayed. John 17:17. He said, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Verse 19, what's the word all about? What's the truth of this gospel all about? Here's what it's about. Verse 19. He said, and for their sakes, I sanctify myself that they also may be sanctified through the truth. Christ is that truth through whom God sanctifies his people. The mystery of godliness is Christ. Listen, 1 Timothy 3:16, without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on the word, received up into glory. Christ is the truth. He came down from glory, and he's the holy God-man. And he's sanctification. He is the truth. He took the place of his people as the one holy, faithful, righteous servant of God representing his people. Christ separated himself from vain religion. He gave himself for his people, and God made him sin for us. God made him, therefore, a curse for his people, and he bore that curse. Christ died and he conquered death for his people. Christ arose with his people in him, and we sat down in him. Christ is our life seated at God's right hand. And by this gospel, declaring what Christ did for us, what Christ accomplished for us, by this gospel, the Spirit of Christ enters into these dead, sinful bodies. And we're born again of incorruptible seed. We're given the mind of Christ. We're given the Spirit of Christ that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. It's never entered into the heart of man the things God's prepared for them, but God hath revealed them to us by his Spirit. He's come and made you to know the things freely given to you of God. No other way we'd know. You know what that resulted in? Look at 2 Peter 1. Here's what was accomplished by this work of Christ for us and in us. 2 Corinthians 1:4, whereby through this gospel are given to us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that's in the world through lust. You have. Christ, our holiness and our righteousness is formed in us, and our new man is holy and righteous by Christ. And having therefore, brethren, boldness now to enter the holiest. You can now enter the holiest of holies, God's holy presence, because we have Christ as our righteousness, Christ as our holiness, Christ as our high priest. His blood has put away our sin. You can enter now with a true heart, a heart he's made true, a heart he's made entirely created anew. And you have your heart sprinkled from an evil conscience. You know you're not guilty now. There's no condemnation. You've ceased from your works. And your body's been washed with pure water. Men will read that word where it says partakers of the divine nature, and they'll say, now, God doesn't create a new holy nature in you. That word means he makes you fellowshippers with him. Well, let me ask you, if he didn't create a new holy nature in you, what part of you is fellowshipping with holy God? Your corrupt flesh? That ain't possible. Your sin nature can't have no fellowship with the holy God. It's in the new man we have communion with God, a new nature. That word partakers, it includes the word fellowship. But I tell you, it's this. He made his people one with him. It's the same word used in the Hebrews 2 when he said, because the children were partakers of flesh and blood, he also partook of the same. Was he made flesh? Absolutely. Is he made a new man in you, a new nature in you, created in his image? Absolutely. And it's in that new man that we have everything and know everything freely given to us of God. Our flesh don't contribute. And that new man's good. I don't know why men don't want to give. It's a subtlety of Satan because it sounds good. Men will say, we want the glory to be on Christ on the cross. We're not going to say there's a new man because men will start looking to themselves. That sounds good. But that's denying the work of Christ in you, which is just as necessary as the work he did for you. Absolutely necessary. That's the only way God receives us and we have access to holy God. And that work is good. When you get to glory, you're going to be righteous and holy, body, soul, and spirit. You're going to be righteous and holy in every way. Who are we going to glorify? We're going to fall down and glorify Christ that he did it all. Why wouldn't we do that now? God's saints do. When you've been given a new holy nature, you glorify him for having done that work. When God made that first creation, he looked at everything he made and said, it's good. And that's why Paul said, I know that in me, that is, in my sinful flesh of Adam dwells no good thing, because Christ is in me in the new man, and that's good. Man gets so upset about that. Oh, you can't say that. You're saying a man's good. No, I'm not. I'm saying God's good, and God made something good, and it's all of him, and it's not of us. And it's the first time you have communion with a holy and just God and look away from self to him alone. Sanctification of the Spirit, belief of the truth whereunto he called you by our gospel. Lastly, we thank God because we have Christ and we're in Christ. Verse 14 says, whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, when our Lord Jesus reveals himself in you, he gives you the glory that the Father gave to him before the world was made. What's that? Go over to John 17 again. He gives you the glory that was given to him before the world was made. I preached a message on this one time. I don't have time to go into all of it now, but it's his righteousness. It's his holiness. It's wisdom. It's redemption. It's everything Christ is. That's the glory. God gave him the glory of being the preeminence, being all fullness before the world was made. And look here, John 17:22, he's speaking of those he had called out when he was walked this earth. Christ said, the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them. Look at verse 8, I've given unto them the words you gave me. Verse 14, I've given them thy word, and the world's hated them because they're not of the world, even as I'm not of the world. The glory he gives us is the gospel. He makes us know the truth of the gospel, to know that the glory God the Father gave him in eternity. He gave him the glory of being the truth. He gave him the glory of being the covenant. He gave him the glory of being the wisdom and the righteousness and the sanctification and the redemption of his people. He gave him the glory of being salvation. And Christ comes to you and says, I'm giving you this gospel so that you know now I'm salvation. I'm everything in salvation. Verse 22, the glory, John 17:22. Here's why he does it. The glory which thou gavest me, I've given them that they may be one even as we are one. I and them. That's sanctification right there. Somebody wants to go into some deep, muddy dissertation on what sanctification is, you just point to the verse 23, I and them, that's sanctification. I and them, and thou and me, that they may be made perfect in one, in Christ our perfection. And that my redeemed all over the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Verse 24, Father, I will. The best is yet to come. And we have a foretaste right now with the best is yet to come. Verse 24, Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. Oh, when he gives you this glory, when Christ is formed in you, that's when you know he's the truth. He's the gospel. He's everything God's provided. Everything you need to be accepted of God. God gave him that glory for the world was made. And now in Christ, you're one in him. Perfect in him. Perfect in one. Christ is in you. The Father's in Christ. And you're one in Christ. And one day, we see through a glass dimly now. One day we're going to see him face to face and be perfectly, perfectly, perfectly conformed to his image entirely. What's this gospel going to do? What's Christ going to do through this gospel for you that he's called? Nothing will ever separate you from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Verse 15, this is what he's going to do. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which you've been taught, whether by word or epistle. Now, our Lord Jesus Christ himself, and God, even our Father, which hath loved us and hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace, our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father will comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. That's what he'll do. Father, we thank you for this word. Thank you, Lord. Salvation is all of you. What amazing, amazing grace that you have given to your people. What amazing grace you have shown us in coming and working all this out, all your purpose from eternity. You worked it out and then revealed it to us. Lord, give yourself glory. Bring all the praise and glory of your people to you alone. Make Christ preeminent in our hearts and make us fall down and worship him. Save us from our self, our self-wisdom, our self-righteousness, our self-sanctification, our self-proclaimed liberty, Lord. Save us from ourselves and make us glory only in the Lord. How we thank you, Lord. What you've done is amazing, free, fully complete by Christ. Lord, we pray today you'd make this word effectual in the heart of one of your lost sheep. Unite them with us and cause them to rejoice like you make us rejoice. And Lord, we'd look for that day and pray you come quickly and we may behold you face to face. Thank you for these mercies and this continual grace. For Christ's sake, amen.